Welcome to The Sensuous, a radical celebration of your inner sensuous creature, your feeling, humming, dancing essence that's throbbing with creative impulse, orgasmic sensitivity, intuitive wisdom, and primal wildness. The part of you that perceives with the whole of your body and is interconnected with all that is. The one who's here to not only live, but be alive. This podcast invites you to re-experience yourself as a vital organ of the greater animate world, relating to your eroticism, pleasure, emotions, and full spectrum humanness as gateways to your own divinity. I'm your guide, Nadine Hamilton, seasoned sexuality coach, somatic practitioner, intimacy educator, and lifelong student. Join me and my guests as we explore the sacred and the profane through a somatic lens, unraveling all things sex, power, mysticism, healing, and conscious relating. This is the call of the sensuous. Do you feel it? Hi, my loves. Welcome to another episode of The Sensuous. I'm so grateful to have you here. Thank you for tuning in. This episode is a recording of a recent live stream that I did on Instagram. So it's a solo episode and it is just straight channeled, free-flowing, intuitive wisdom, jam-packed with so many juicy tools and practices and teachings and tips that I personally really wish I knew a long time ago on my own journey. And I know you're going to get something out of this. I'm going to keep this intro pretty short and sweet so that we could get right into it. But I spoke a lot about what does it take to have your own erotic revival, your own erotic awakening, and really create inner alchemy and experience inner safety, security, confidence, groundedness, and just this ecosystem within yourself that feels like it is in support of that which you desire and that which you are creating, rather than being in this cycle of self-sabotage or not being congruent with your truth and your intuition and the nudges and signals of your body. So I'm super excited for you to get so much out of this. I also want to note that in this live stream, I did speak quite a bit about my upcoming immersion erotic revival. And whether you are interested in joining this upcoming round of erotic revival or not, I highly recommend listening to this whole episode and making your way all the way to the end, because there's so much wisdom and gold in the middle and the end of the episode. So even if you hear me talking about erotic revival and you know that maybe you can't make it during this round, you can skip through that bit and keep listening, because there's so much gold and juiciness to get to. I also want to mention that I recently hosted an incredible free masterclass, and the replay is going to be expiring pretty soon. It's only available for a limited time. So if you were wanting free access to the recording, it's called Soften, Unlocking Bliss Through Sensual Breast Massage. I'm going to leave the link for you in the show notes so that you can hop on that and access the beautiful experience that this was. I've received such incredible feedback. And in this class, I guide you to awaken more pleasure, sensitivity, connection to your body, your sensuality, and your heart. It's this guided invitation to crack open your heart and your body and pour love, appreciation, compassion, and connection directly into yourself, which is something that I know a lot of people are craving right now. So I hope you get so much out of it. And make sure to let me know how this episode goes for you. You can send me a DM on Instagram at I am Nadine Hamilton. Also, please feel free to share the episode with your friends, your family, your lovers, to share it on your Instagram stories and tag me. And also, of course, make sure to leave a rating and a 5-star review, please, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts for The Sensuous. It makes such a huge difference. I can't emphasize this enough. And it helps this show stay up and running. So thank you in advance. And without further ado, here is today's episode of The Sensuous. Enjoy. And it comes up a lot with women, is worthiness. And always telling ourselves, who am I to have something like that? Who am I to feel this much pleasure?
Who am I to claim my power? Who am I to start a business? Who am I to speak my truth? Who am I to take up space? Who am I to shine my light? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? You know? And who the fuck are you not to? Who are you not to? So many of us are living our lives with this subconscious fear that we're going to get in trouble, or we're going to get found out, or we're going to be punished. We're going to be the bad girl. So this is a reminder that you are safe. You're not in trouble. No one's mad at you. Or maybe they will be mad at you, but guess what? That is safe too. That's okay too. That's acceptable too. If we're continuously living our lives deathly afraid of what other people are gonna think, deathly afraid of being judged or not accepted, afraid of being seen as too much or ridiculous or a failure or too sexual or whatever it is, too wild, then who are we living our lives for? A lot changed in my life when I claimed my innate, untouchable worthiness of living a life that is true to myself, of making love in a way that is true to the force and the divinity and the beauty of my sexual energy and exactly how it wants to be expressed. A lot of us are holding ourselves back and censoring ourselves and muzzling ourselves in our expression in the world. And how you pleasure yourself and how you have sex is a microcosm that directly represents all the other areas of your life. How you make love is how you live your life. How you touch your own body is how you live your life. And so the conversation around worthiness comes up so much in sex, love, and relationships, especially around like the amount of pleasure that we let ourselves feel and the amount of love that we allow ourselves to receive. We have these unconscious upper limits. And when we start to hit that limit, we unconsciously like sabotage ourselves. And I honestly don't really love the word self-sabotage or that whole concept, but for the sake and ease of this conversation, I'm just going to say it because it's familiar language for most of us. So when we start to hit that upper limit of the amount of pleasure or love that we deem as safe or acceptable, we stop it. We go numb. We shut down. We start a fight. We end it in some way because we've been taught over time that feeling this much pleasure is not safe. Receiving this much love is not safe. And our body is interacting with it as a threat to our own survival. We're unconsciously equating it to death because maybe we were raised in an environment where freely sexual women were seen as disgusting, shameful, slutty, whores, whatever the label was. And we associate that with being ostracized from the tribe, right? And a lot of us in this modern world forget that, yes, we have so much advanced technology, and also we are living in, inhabiting these primal animal bodies that are still wired in a lot of ways exactly how they were when we were cavemen and cavewomen thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. At the core of it, all we want to do is be able to survive. Like all of these different mechanisms that you have for shutting down pleasure or closing yourself off from love, it's a part of you that loves you so much that it wants to keep you safe. And it's doing the best that it can to do that, even if that method looks like something that you don't want to happen. For example, cutting yourself off from the amount of love that's available to you. I love to bring in somatic work and embodiment work and allowing your body over and over and over again to have the experience, the felt experience that it's safe to be expressed. It's safe to receive love. It's safe to be wild and surrendered. It's safe to experience huge amounts of pleasure and orgasm. And we can do this in a lot of different ways. Again, embodiment practices and somatic work. And if that doesn't yet feel accessible for you, we can also do meditation and visualization. So you can even start with that, like sitting down, closing your eyes, taking some breaths, getting still, tuning into yourself, and just visualizing yourself experiencing huge, wild, surrendered pleasure and orgasm. just visualizing it and imagining it, and you'll see what naturally comes up. You'll see just from visualizing it, you don't even have to actually do it. You'll see what your body is still holding on to. It'll show you immediately. Like, visualize the thing that you want to experience. For example, in this case, cosmic, surrendered, wild orgasms. And notice what comes up naturally in your body. Is your body just open and receptive and you're a full fuck yes to this? Or is your body still holding on to some lingering fear, doubt, anxiety, shame, guilt, fight or flight, contraction? And just noticing what lives within you, because when we become aware of it and we let ourselves see it and feel it and hold it and be with it with acceptance and love, that's when we integrate it and it's no longer fighting against us. It's no longer unconsciously controlling our lives. And again, a lot of us are living our lives from this mindset of, I'm gonna get in trouble. I'm gonna get caught. I'm doing something wrong. I'm bad. I know for me, oh my God, this has been such a massive part of my journey. Let me fucking tell you. this has been so huge for most of my life, and it's still there. It's not 100% gone, but it's this belief that I'm bad and I'm wrong. I know a lot of people resonate with this voice in your head that's telling you you're a bad person. You're gonna get found out. And like most things, it comes deeply from childhood. It could also be intergenerational. But yeah, there's this inner child within us who just wants to be told that they are loved, they're safe, they're accepted. It's okay to be exactly who they are. It's okay to be the expression of exactly what lives within them. And the cosmic joke is that we are, as adults, grasping for that love, that safety, that validation, that acceptance, that acknowledgement outside of ourselves, but nothing outside of ourselves and no one outside of ourselves can fully quench that thirst or fulfill that need. It has to be met by ourselves. So as adults, it's our responsibility to now be the ideal, loving, kind, patient, compassionate parent to ourselves that maybe we never had. That is our responsibility. And that is when we have the best, most wild, sacred, life-changing, cosmic fucking sex, love, intimacy, relationships, orgasm, and pleasure of our entire lives. It's when we reparent ourselves and we hold ourselves in safety and dignity. Can you dignify your own experience? Can you dignify your sexuality, your pleasure, your desires, instead of relating to them as an enemy or a burden or something to be ashamed of? This is deep work. This is not something that just happens in one healing session or one meditation. And that's why in my upcoming program, wink, wink, Erotic Revival, it's why it's 4 months long. And it's why you get lifetime access to all of the material, all of the workshops, all of the practices, because it's a lifelong journey that you get to hold yourself in and keep coming back to. I want you to have access to this content and these resources and the support and the practices. So when these things inevitably come up, you have the toolkit to hold yourself in it. If you're interested in Erotic Revival, we're starting in April. I'm currently doing discovery calls, which are free 30-minute connection calls for us to connect. And I'm gonna guide you through a process to just connect to yourself, connect to your heart, and gain clarity on exactly what you want and where you're at and what your needs are and what you're truly desiring to get out of life and love and sex and relationships, including with yourself. Send in your application. We'll hop on a free call. And if mutually it feels like this is a good fit, then you're in. And I would absolutely love to have you. There's going to be group sessions, 8 group sessions, and you also get 2 one-on-one coaching calls. So you get private, customized support from me. You get lifetime access to the online learning portal, which has meditations, rituals, embodiment practices, self-pleasure practices, everything that you need to tap into your inner child, to awaken more pleasure, more sensitivity, more wildness and surrender, and feel safe and at home in your sexuality, in all of its authenticity, in all of its truest, biggest, realest expression, so that you can experience the intimacy that is your fucking birthright and that you came here to experience. I love... Oop, this person needs to be blocked. Remove. Okay. Those comments are not welcome here. Anyways, the reason, one of the many reasons why I love working directly with sexuality is because it is and has been an area of our lives, both our individual lives and also collectively, that for thousands of years now has been oppressed, has been demonized and distorted and manipulated. There's a lot of trauma, a lot of wounding, a lot of stigma, a lot of taboo and conditioning and limitation and contraction, and you fucking name it. I'm sure we're all aware. There's a lot there. And when we go to this place within us that has been so locked away in the shadows for so many of us, and we liberate that, guess what? The rest of your life has no choice but to radically transform. Because if you can experience God and liberation and truth and love and ecstasy and bliss and true fucking peace and safety within this area of your life that for so long has been drenched in shame and taboo, who's to say you can't experience that same level of liberation in literally everywhere else? If you can experience liberation in your most vulnerable, exposed states of orgasm and sex, you can also experience radical confidence in your self-expression, in how you show up at work, in how you express yourself in life, in your creations, in your art, in your friendships, in all of your relationships. That's why I love this work. Because yeah, we're going into sexuality, but it's so holistic and comprehensive, and there's nowhere in your life that it doesn't touch. So if you're someone who you know within you, there is a sexual creature, there is an erotic being within you, there is a sensual, confident, freely expressed woman within you, and it's time for her to see the light of day. It's time for you to use your fucking voice. It's time for you to claim your true yes and your no and your boundaries and to express it without that expression being dependent on how it may be received on the other side, and you just being the living embodiment of your truth in all of its glory and beauty. If that's what you want, then I think Erotic Revival is for you. The pillars of Erotic Revival are creating a deep-rooted, grounded, secure sense of inner safety and self-love. It's doing deep inner child healing and ancestral and lineage and intergenerational healing. It's also cultivating and activating energy and your subtle energy body and resensitizing yourself to energy so that you can circulate it through your body literally as medicine and nourishment for yourself on all levels, awakening pleasure, arousal, and turn on, and power. That's really huge. Power, including your confidence, your voice, your expression, and full ownership of who you are, what you want, how you're here to operate in the world. To me, power is ownership of choice. We feel powerless when we feel like we have no choices, and there's always a choice. We feel powerless when we think that life is happening to us and we're the victim to life and we have no choices. So power is when you feel like you are sitting in the throne within yourself and you are making sovereign, empowered, conscious choices in your life that are aligned with your truth. Instead of feeling like life is this thing that's just happening to you and it's just passing you by and you're constantly trying to catch up to it. Power is clarity, connection, embodiment, trust, groundedness, and making choices from that place where you are seated in the throne within yourself and walking around your life like the queen or royal being that you are, and owning it everywhere you go, instead of thinking that you need to censor yourself or contort yourself into different shapes and personalities and identities depending on the space that you're entering. It's you claiming that you get to be you, you get to be all of yourself no matter where you are. And yes, of course, having discernment, maybe there are certain spaces where your wild inner seductress temple priestess slutty sexual being, maybe the fullness of her, that's not safe in every single space, and you'll have discernment on that. But it's staying anchored in the truth of who you are no matter fucking what. And again, no longer allowing other people to dictate and determine who you are and the choices that you make and how you choose to express yourself. Because you know that no matter what, you got you. You got you. You choose yourself. You love yourself. You accept yourself. You belong to yourself. You are holding yourself. And when you do the work that we're going to be doing in Erotic Revival, and that concept of truly having yourself and claiming yourself, when that is no longer like this nice little thought in your head, and it's no longer just something you intellectually understand, but it's something that has been seeped into every cell of your fucking body, and you feel it, and you live it, and you breathe it, and you move it through your body, and it is you. It's vibrating out of you and oozing out of you as you walk down the street. Then that's who you are, baby, and that's how you live your life, and that's how you make choices. It would be my deepest honor to have you. Again, step one is to go to the link in my bio, click where it says Erotic Revival, send in your application, and the application in and of itself is going to take you on a whole inner reflection journey and allow you to gain even more clarity on where you're at and what you truly want and what would support you. After you submit that, I'm going to send you an email within a few days to set up a free call. We connect on the call. There's no pressure, no weird sales tactics or expectations. And if it genuinely feels mutually like it's a good fit, then I'll invite you inside into the container. And again, we start in April. It's a journey of a lifetime, and you're not going to be the same. And I love this work because it's not just me and it's not just you. This work and you choosing to enter this container impacts everyone in your life and everyone who you ever come into contact with. That's why I care about this work. Because no matter if there's like a small handful of people in the group or the biggest group ever, it ripples out over the globe. Like, this is a revolution, and I'm beyond honored to invite you inside of it because it's my favorite work in the whole world. And I've heard from a lot of clients that it's in spaces like this where they finally felt safe and accepted and celebrated and embraced enough to say the things that maybe they've never been able to say in their entire lifetime. They've allowed themselves to be seen and witnessed and loved and celebrated in certain expressions of themselves that they have never, ever, ever allowed to see the light of day. Do you know how empowering that is for you to finally unearth parts of yourself that you for the whole of your life have thought was too shameful or bad or wrong to even allow yourself to see? You finally express that and you're met with love and acceptance. That innately in and of itself is so healing, so empowering, and it creates deeper intimacy with yourself and others when you let it be seen. Okay, I'm gonna leave it at that. I'll say this was successful. I only had to kick one person off of this line. Oh man, yeah, work around sexuality attracts some interesting humans. Okay, I'm sending so much love, and it's the first day of my period right now, and I just feel like extra tender and mushy and ooey gooey lovey, and I feel, I don't know, very connected to like my maternal self right now. And like the mama in me, wants to say to you that whether you choose to sign up for this program, whether I am the teacher, the coach, the mentor for you or not, you are worthy no matter what of what you desire. You are worthy of pleasure. You are worthy of sexual ecstasy. You are worthy of love. You are worthy of all of the goodness, all of the blessings, all of the beauty, all of the connection, all of the abundance, all of it, all of it, all of it. You are worthy. It is untouchable. And you know how I know this? Because what makes you so special that you think that you, as God's creation, the divine's creation, the universe's creation, somehow you are unworthy out of everything in the universe? Like, oops, made a mistake with this one over here is unworthy. No, it doesn't work like that, honey. It doesn't work like that. To me, that's like saying a tree is unworthy, or the worthiness of a river is like up for debate. What? No. The exact same force, the exact same universal intelligence that creates galaxies and that creates jaguars and bees and roses and tulips and passion fruit or anything in existence is also what created you and is also what created everything that you consider to be imperfect or embarrassing or fucked up or weird or too much or not enough or whatever the story is. Guess where that came from? It came from universal intelligence, source, life force, creation. You, simply by existing, simply by breathing and being on this planet, you have a place here. A place was made for you in this universe for you to be here. So who the fuck is anyone to say that the desire that is alive and pulsing in your heart is wrong? Are you kidding me? How could that be wrong? How could that be wrong? What? That desire, I say this a lot, so if you've heard me say this, just bear with me, okay? But I'm gonna say it again. That desire in your heart is a seed, a sacred seed that was planted within you. And just by that seed existing within you, it innately influences your life. So the fact that you have this desire within you, no matter what it is, you have this vision, you have this desire, it's this force within you that is pulling you towards something, and it's therefore impacting the decisions that you make, the conversations that you have, the places that you go, the way that you present yourself, the different identities that you claim and embody, the words that you say. It's almost like, think about it like a drug. Like, that drug is within you and it's influencing you. It is altering your consciousness. So it's kind of like this propeller that's making you go in a certain direction. And so that desire within you has much less to do with you obtaining anything or getting anywhere or going past a finish line or obtaining the desire. And it has so much more to do with, where is it taking you? The fact that this desire is within you, it's in existence, how is that influencing you? How is that moving you? How is it shaping you and molding you? What direction is it taking you in? Who is it inviting you to step into? Who is it inviting you to become? What within you is it inviting you to strengthen or expand or diminish or let go of and release? Think of it like that. Think of your desires as invitations, permission slips, signposts, North Stars. Yeah. Can you tell I really love synonyms? I remember I had this friend in college who would always make fun of me because I can never just say one adjective. I have to say like 20 adjectives, but the poet in me just loves adjectives. Anyways, thank you for appreciating. Okay. I know I said I was going to wrap this up, but I'm not a concise person. Another thing that I want to say is, so we can either just notice what resonates with you and take it and run with it, okay? So if it resonates with you, everything that I just said about everything in existence, everything in creation is worthiness itself. Like, if worthiness is the cloth of the universe, you were cut of that cloth. You are not worthy. You are of worthiness itself. It like is you. So if you resonate with that, take it and run with it. If that doesn't resonate with you, I'm a huge fan of embracing paradox and contradiction and noticing how all of it is true. So another argument that we can make is that if everything is worthy, then we could also argue that nothing is worthy. And worthiness maybe doesn't even exist. Maybe, just maybe, it is a concept that we literally just made up. What if all of these different things in our head that we compare ourselves to are make-believe? What if it's all make-believe? What if you thinking, I have to be ready and qualified enough in order to put myself out there or start a business or make a podcast or write a book or put my art out into the world or share this part of myself or open my mouth? What if that's a fucking illusion? What if it's all make-believe and all of us are just playing dress up and that's what we're doing here? So that's another thing that you can play with. And there's different seasons of this, right? Like I've found on the spiritual journey, like especially in the beginning, well, we go through cycles, but again, especially in the beginning, it can be and usually is extremely empowering and liberating to go on a journey at first of claiming our worth, claiming our desires, claiming our power. And then as we continue on that cycle, on that path, on that spiritual journey, there I go with the adjectives again. then there comes a season where none of that even fucking matters and it's not even important. And it's like, okay, whether I'm worthy of it or I'm not worthy of it, it doesn't even fucking matter. And it's this ownership of like, just truth. It's literally just truth. It's moment to moment tracking what is my truth, what is my truth, what is my truth. The little human thought of, oh, am I worthy of this or not? It doesn't even matter because it's your truth. And what's more important than that? What is more important than that? So depending on where you're at and what season you're in, just notice, like, are you in a season or a chapter of needing to claim your worthiness, your power, your desires, your bigness? Or are you in a season of being like, you know what? It doesn't even matter. It's true within me. It's alive within me. I can feel this force within me pulling me in this direction. So I'm going to get out of my own way and make it happen. And I believe way too many of us are living our lives according to our thoughts and our mind and believing the thoughts. The vast majority of the time, the thoughts in your head are not true. They are not rooted in truth. And we live our lives as if they are. Just because you have thoughts in your head, just because they sound really convincing or really intimidating, or they're coming up with all of these elaborate, complex arguments convincing you of why that thought is true and why you that's a really bad idea to start your own business, or why you are so unworthy of love, or whatever story it's trying to convince you of, that does not mean it's true. Stop believing your mind. This is why we all gotta meditate, okay? If you're not meditating yet, you gotta meditate. Because meditation and states of deep silence and stillness allows you to observe the chaos of the mind for what it truly is. And that state of witnessing is so powerful because it detaches you from it. And it gives you the lived experience of remembering that you are not your thoughts, you are not your beliefs, you are not even your personality. You're not your self-image. You're not this whole concept of who you think you are and everything that you've been told you are for your whole life or how other people perceive you. That is not who you are. When we meditate and we come into stillness and silence, we're able to witness this whole drama, this whole play, this whole reality show that is on repeat over and over in our mind. And we just witness it for exactly what it is, which is a drama. It's literally your mind trying to grasp onto something, and your mind is constantly trying to problem solve and fix things and solve issues that aren't even issues. It's the ego trying to attach onto something, cling onto something, control things. The more we witness that mind, the easier it becomes to allow those thoughts to pass like clouds or like water flowing down a river. instead of clinging for dear life onto every single thought and convincing ourselves, oh, this must be true. Oh, yes, my mind is telling me I'm not good enough. I'm ugly. I'm fat. I'm unlovable. I'm unworthy. I'm all of these things. Yes, it's true. And living our life based off of that. Are you kidding me? Where is that going to get you? That voice is not you. It is internalized from all of these external factors, like our family, our peers, the media, culture, conditioning, religion, systems and structures that were never fucking designed to empower you in the first place. Is that really how we want to live our lives? I don't think so. So witness your thoughts, detach from them, come back to your center, and claim your worthiness of it all. If you're watching this and you've listened to this whole thing and you're still here, God bless you. Thank you for being here. And also, if you're still watching this, I would very much make the bet that you are here for greatness. You are here for beauty. You are here for pleasure. You are here to be a way shower and a torch bearer for others. You are here to be a living permission slip for what other people get to do and how they get to feel, how they get to live their lives, how they get to relate to themselves. So you choosing to take up a little bit more space, you choosing to let yourself be seen in your light, in your pleasure, in your fullness, in your greatness, that innately is inviting other people to do the same for themselves. And again, that's why I love this work, because it ripples out exponentially. Okay, I think for real, I'm going to end it here, but I'm sending so much love. And even though I don't have kids yet, I feel very connected to my inner mama bear right now. And she wants to tell you again that you are so loved. You are so worthy. And I know it's really fucking scary to make big decisions and investments that you know are going to change your life. And your mind might be making up all of these different reasons of, oh, I'm not worthy of that. It's too much. Who am I to sign up for a program or an opportunity like that? That's not for me. Maybe I'll do it in 5 years. Whatever the story is, get still and tune into your deeper truth. If you feel called to erotic revival, listen to that call. I'm here if you have any questions. I'm here if you want to connect and hop on that free 30-minute call, and I hope to see you inside. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Also, let me know, for the folks who are on, do you have any questions about anything at all that I just talked about sex, love, relationships, healing, pleasure, inner child, worthiness, any of these topics?
One of the most profound shifts happened in how I experienced life, intimacy, sexuality, pleasure, and my own body when I realized that if we truly say that we desire a life of more pleasure, then we must consciously spend more time in pleasure. Pleasure is a practice and a skill that we can learn and strengthen. And aside from a deeply relaxed nervous system, an incredibly powerful catalyst for living a life of pleasure, aliveness, connection, and embodiment is choosing to cultivate your erotic turn-on and awaken your sensuous body. How we touch, hold, express, and relate to our bodies directly reflects how we show up in our external worlds. I've now spent years working with clients on exactly this and training intensively in fields such as integrative sex and embodiment coaching, sacred sexuality and tantra, somatic healing, and intimacy education. I've now channeled all of this life-changing wisdom into my program, Erotic Revival. This 4-month online somatic sexual healing and empowerment immersion is truly a journey of a lifetime, and the next cohort begins this April. I'm so excited. You'll learn to use erotic embodiment, conscious self-pleasure, ritual, meditation, and somatic exploration as tools for expansion, awakening, sexual wholeness, and profound self-love. You'll activate your wildest pleasure, orgasmic potential, embodied confidence, spiritual connection, and sensual expression. This immersion includes live group calls private coaching sessions, a private community support space, and expertly guided lessons and practices to integrate the transformation into your everyday life. You'll put theory into practice, ensuring an experiential and embodied integration of all that you're learning as you unravel all that's been keeping you from knowing, expressing, and owning your true, authentic, erotic self. We'll journey through different modules such as oceanic self-love and heart opening, awakening pleasure, desire, and sensuality, sexual healing, wildness, power, and orgasmic living, and sacred sexuality and energy play. Applications are now open for Erotic Revival, and you can learn more at bloomwithnadine.com/erotic revival, or you can find the link directly in the show notes below. There are very juicy early bird bonuses and discounts available, so I highly recommend applying now. I would be deeply honored to welcome you inside of this truly magical and transformative container, because a woman who owns her sexuality, her body, her boundaries, her expression, her truth, and her desires is a woman who owns her life. Now back to the episode.
A question I get a lot is, from women, the question around like them saying, when I am free and liberated and bold and expressed in my sensuality and my sexual power, like, how can I keep doing that and also feel safe? For example, if we have experienced being sexual and expressed and free and open and liberated, and we've been met with unwanted advances or attention, how do we keep feeling safe? And this is a huge topic that I could do a whole entire 3-hour masterclass on. So just to briefly go into this, this is an edgy topic and there's a lot of angles, but I'll start by saying this. I believe, for the most part, safety is something that is cultivated within. We cannot expect safety from the external world. I fucking wish we could, but we can't. That's not the world that we live in. I don't believe the world owes us anything. The world doesn't owe us safety. The world doesn't owe us comfort or ease. It doesn't owe us our preferences or feeling good. Again, I wish it was different, but it wasn't. It isn't. So if our sense of safety and security and ease is 100% constantly dependent on external circumstances and people and things and systems and structures outside of ourselves, then we're never going to feel safe. We're never going to feel safe. Being in a human body is innately unsafe. Walking around this world is innately unsafe. Safety is an inner game. And I want to add a huge caveat that I want to recognize that there are very real systems and structures in place that systematically create unequal levels of safety for different groups of people. Like, I can sit here and talk about safety, and at the same time, I am a white woman in America with a US passport with insane amounts of privilege. Hi, Sydney. I love you so much, and I'm so happy you're here. So I want to add that huge caveat that, you know, there are war zones and there is racism and sexism and there's a lot of shit going on. So all of that needs to be said and acknowledged and recognized at the same time as I'm having this conversation. I love you. What was I saying? Safety. Okay. So all of that is acknowledged. I'm not brushing that to the side. And at the same time, as I mentioned, hey, Medina, my girl Medina is here too. Safety is an inner game. Security is an inner game. When we're having this conversation around, okay, I want to be fully liberated and confident and expressed in my sexual power and my sensuality, and I'm deathly afraid of receiving unwanted attention, for me, it's more of a matter of, can I stay rooted and anchored in my safety no matter what happens? Because as you saw, even on this live, I had to kick someone out and block them because they were saying inappropriate comments. And like, if I allowed that to stop me from showing up and speaking my truth and talking about these taboo topics, then I would never talk about any of this. And this is something that is cultivated over time. If you've heard me talk about my story, it took me a long time, even after doing this work for years, to actually be able to say to people that I met in person what I do for work, because it felt really edgy and I had to grow into it. I remember even a few years ago, like 3-4 years ago, I have this vivid memory of I went to this yoga class. I was in Guatemala and the yoga teacher was really cool. We like hit it off. I was like, I want to be friends with you. You're awesome. And I remember after the class, we were just sitting and chatting for a while. And she asked me, like, what am I up to? What's my thing? What do I do for work? And I ended up telling her, but I remember there was this part of me that still felt a little contracted around it. And there was this part of me that was like, oh God, like, what if she judges me? What if this is weird? What if she thinks blah, 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 like all these stories in my head. And specifically, I remember like she asked for my Instagram handle and there was this contraction in me like, oh God, is she going to find out? And I ended up telling her about the inner experience that happened as she just asked me, what is your Instagram username? And it's so interesting how that was literally only just a few years ago. And I let that part of me be seen and held and expressed and loved, that part of me that is so terrified of being judged or receiving unwanted attention or being left out, being not accepted in some way. That part is coming from this place of innocence and it's wanting to protect me. It's not something bad that we have to get rid of. And so confidence and ownership of who we are and being able to speak our truth, this isn't something that just happens like boom, for the most part. It definitely can. But it is a practice and it's a muscle that we strengthen over time. There's this business coach who always says, confidence is bravery compounded over time. And I could not resonate more with that statement. Confidence is bravery compounded over time. A lot of us wait for clarity before we take action. We wait for confidence and readiness before we take action. Girl, if you're going to wait for confidence and clarity and perfect circumstances and to be 100% healed before you do the big, scary, bold thing that you know you want to do, but it scares the shit out of you, then you're never going to do it. The clarity comes through action. The confidence comes through action. The readiness comes through action. It's not a prerequisite. So circling this back to the topic of feeling safe in your sexual expression, it happens with practice over time, over time, over time. It happens through you having the lived experience multiple times of feeling in your body. It's safe to be a sexual being. It's safe to feel pleasure. It's safe to have big surrendered wild orgasms. It's safe to be seen. It's safe to experience true intimacy. It's safe to be seen in my tears, in my rage, in my grief, in my emotions, in my vulnerability. It happens over the practice. So every single time you choose vulnerability, you choose connection, you choose truth, you choose expression, you choose pleasure, and you let yourself feel the feelings of that experience and you be with it and you stay with it and you hold yourself through it with love and compassion, every single moment you spend doing that, you are innately expanding your capacity to be with more of it, more pleasure, more connection, more intimacy, more vulnerability, more sensitivity. You are widening your capacity. You're widening your range bigger and bigger and bigger. Every little micro moment you choose to spend being with the sensation of pleasure or confidence or expression, and you just do the fucking thing, you doing it again and again and again, and you choosing it, what you're doing is you're showing your nervous system, you're showing your subconscious, you're showing the most ancient, primal, mammalian parts of yourself, hey, guess what? I can survive this. I'm still alive. I'm safe. And not only that, but hey, maybe it feels really good. that's how you create inner safety around the experience that used to feel really scary, like speaking your truth or going on Instagram Live or putting yourself out there or giving the cool new yoga teacher friend your real Instagram username, even though you feel kind of cringy at her knowing that you're a sex coach. Oh my God. And then by doing that, you find out that, hey, she thinks it's really cool. Hey, I'm still alive. No one rejected me. And even if they did, I'm still alive and it's okay. It's safe. It's safe to be rejected. It's safe to be judged. It's safe to be disliked. And okay, another thing, I feel like this live is never going to end. Oh my God. Every time I think it's going to end, another thing comes up. Okay. Another thing is exposure. If there's one thing that I want you to take away from this, it's exposure. What do you need to expose yourself to in order to start feeling safe and comfortable doing the thing or being the thing that you want to do or you want to be? This is why it's so unbelievably important to consciously curate who and what you are surrounding yourself by on a regular basis. This is huge. I cannot emphasize this enough. What are you consuming? What are you absorbing? What messaging, what belief systems, what words, what thoughts, like what energy, frequency, humans are you surrounding yourself with? Because that is going to influence you so much. Every single time I invested in myself with a mentor who embodied a certain quality or energy or frequency that I wanted to amplify within myself, and I consciously made a choice to invest in myself so that I could have closer proximity to this frequency that they are emitting out into the world, your energy starts to match theirs, the closer proximity you get because you're choosing who you're surrounding yourself with. Your frequency is like co-regulating with theirs, and you have no choice but to level up and expand that within yourself. It's like this natural evocation that happens of this thing that lives within you. And like, think about who are the people in your life, or even the people on social media or a celebrity, like who are the people who you just like, you feel so drawn towards them. You feel such a resonance with them. Every time they pop up on your newsfeed, you're like, yes, they're speaking to my soul, or you're always watching their stories or whatever it is. And just think about like, what is it exactly about them that I feel so drawn towards and so attracted to? Is it their joy? Is it their authenticity? Is it their bigness? Is it their sexuality, their wildness, their messiness, their ownership of who they are? Like, what is it specifically about them that you're so attracted to? And whatever it is, I guarantee you it lives within you too. And I know that because you wouldn't be able to recognize it in them if it didn't also exist within you. The fact that you feel so drawn towards it means that it lives within you too. And that part of you is like, yes, yes, yes. That part of you is so hungry to finally be seen and to finally have those flames be fanned. And it's like, let's fucking go. I want more of that. I'm hungry for that. I want to be unleashed too. I want to be seen and expressed and liberated too. So when you place yourself in relationships, in containers, in dynamics, in programs, in spaces and environments where you're consciously surrounding yourself with an energy and a frequency that you know you want to tap into, you, just by exposing yourself to that energy, there's going to be an inner alchemy that happens. Because just by you making the choice to step into that space, that container, is innately awakening and activating that piece of you too. And that piece of you can finally say, damn, I finally have a place here. I'm welcome here. I have permission to come to life. I have permission to be all of who I am instead of suppress this part of myself. Mentorship is so powerful. And it's wild that we live in a time now where we have such easier access to anyone we want, pretty much. And we have access to people who might live on the other side of the world that otherwise we wouldn't have access to. exposing yourself over and over and over again to these different energies and frequencies and spaces is what activates it in you too. Parts of yourself that were previously dormant start to come to life. I truly don't know who the hell I would be right now if I didn't consistently invest in myself and expose myself to containers and teachers and mentors who activated those parts within myself who previously I didn't even know existed. I was like, damn, I'm really drawn towards this person. I don't know why. Maybe it makes no sense, but I'm trusting myself. I'm trusting that pull, and I'm trusting that me awakening this thing within myself is gonna make me even more magnetic to that which I desire. You know why? Because it's truth. And the more true we are, the more magnetic we are. That's magnetism. That's all it is. Magnetism is embodying congruence. That's magnetism. There's nothing in the world that's more magnetic than truth. People can feel it. People can feel it because your body does not lie. So if your inner world, your inner truth, your feelings, your experience, your inner reality is not congruent with your outer expression, it's not authentic, no matter how convincing you are, no matter how good of a public speaker you are, people are going to feel that. So when there's no like mismatched, crooked, squiggly, unaligned, wishy-washy energy, and there's this like this just congruence. It feels piercing and we feel it. You know why we feel it? Because we're fucking hungry for it. Humans are truth detectors. It's why we can meet someone and maybe they seem really nice or maybe they're popular and people really like them, but we just have this weird feeling in our bodies and we can't even put our finger on it, but we're like, I don't know, something feels a little off. It's this truth detector within you that is picking up on something that is beyond the human mind. So maybe it makes no sense to the mind, but your body only knows the language of truth. One of my biggest suggestions or recommendations, if I may, is to follow your body. Trust your body. Trust your inner knowing. Can you imagine? Yo, can you imagine if we lived in a world where all of us were taught from birth to radically honor and trust our truth, our truest true, and to be able to identify and own our truth, we would live in a very different world. Can you imagine if you radically trusted that pulsing seed of truth within you that is whispering for you to go in a certain direction or make a certain decision or go walk up to that person or end that relationship or book that one-way flight? Can you imagine if we actually trusted that and surrendered to it? Side note, I'm currently, I love audiobooks, and the current audiobook, well, one of the like fucking 17 that I'm listening to right now is The Surrender Experiment, and I recommend it. It's really good. But that's like one of the themes right now that's the most alive for me because of that book. And because of my own life experiences, is surrender and trust. Can you trust that there is a force, a power, an intelligence that is far bigger than your human mind will ever be able to conceive? And that intelligence is readily accessible to you at all times. There's nothing you have to do or become or prove or achieve or earn in order for you to access it. It's always there. And it's a matter of you being able to become sensitive enough to the subtle whispers and nudges that it's communicating to you. So A, can you identify it and listen to it? And B, can you trust it? And can you trust yourself? And that's what greatly determines us being in congruence and living a life of radical truth and radical ownership of who we are. Okay, for real, I'm gonna hop off. Thank you for listening. Wow, I love all the different directions that we got to go on in this chat. And I'm sending you all the fucking love in the whole entire world. And I wish you knew how loved and cherished and worthy you are. And I'll see you soon. Please let me know in the comments how this resonated with you. Oh, thank you, Medina. I love you. Hi, Bridget. I just sent you a voice message. yeah. I love you all. And apply for Erotic Revival. It'll change your fucking life. I believe in this work with every last fiber of my being and my soul. And I want you to experience this for yourself because I want you to have a life of truth. Okay, I'm gonna shut up. I love you. Goodbye. Let me know how this lands and I'll see you inside for Erotic Revival.
Thank you so much for listening to The Sensuous, the home for real, raw conversations about sex, love, relationships, power, somatic healing, spirituality, and fully owning our human experiences. The absolute best way to stay connected and receive the most powerful teachings and offerings is by heading to bloomwithnadine.com/newsletter to sign up for my email list. It's also incredibly supportive if you take a minute to tap the follow button and leave a rating and written review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. This really helps more beautiful souls like yourself discover this content. If you resonated with the episode, definitely make sure to share it on your social media and tag me at I am Nadine Hamilton. Send it along to your friends, lovers, and family, and keep listening to more episodes. Let's spread the word about these taboo yet essential discussions. I love and appreciate you so very deeply, and I'm celebrating you for making it to the very end of a podcast episode. Congratulations. I hope you do something to honor your inner sensuous creature today. Thank you for being here.